Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Press and go. Just press and go.
That's our motto.
Life's a show when you just press and go.
No, literally, that's our 2024 motto.
Just press and go.
We don't have time for glue. We need to just press and go.
Stop with the glue. Glue is so 2002.
Wow.
We're talking about impress, press on falsies, and press on manicure. The Impress Press-On Falsies are these lashes that require zero glue. They have a variety of different styles. I personally am a fan of the natural and also the wispies. I like applying a few just to the corner of my eyes. And honestly, this is faster for me than applying mascara. It is so quick. I gotta also tell you the falsies, one thing I forgot to mention, they're the underlash. It's underneath the lash. So they look super, super realistic. No glue, just press and go.
Speaking of press and go, let's talk about the Impress No Glue Manis that I am obsessed with. If you follow me, you know that I am in my press-on era right now because I do not have time to sit in the chair at the salon like many of you for like 2 hours. And that's fine because thanks to Impress, you can have a super fabulous mani in seconds. You don't have to apply any glue. They come in all different styles. And the Impress manicure has a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days.
If you want to try the no glue mani or press on falsies from Impress that won't damage your nails or lashes, just go to Impress. That's impressbeauty.com/Los Angeles. And then use our code Los Angeles to check out for 25% off Impress manicure and press on falsies.
Hi, Kirby.
Hi, Sarah.
Welcome to Los Angeles. How's it going, Kirby?
I love how we're like, okay, what are we doing here? Everything's going great. Thank you for asking. How are you, my little Good. Pregnant wife?
Good. I feel like every time we do this and Zoom, the beauty closet slash office is slowly turning more and more into a nursery.
I mean, I straight up see a little diaper changing area and some like baby sunscreen. All you need is like some Desitin and you're good to go.
Yep.
For a second, I thought Ollie was like up on top of it. Like, because the way I think.
Oh, but it's his pillow?
Oh, it's his pillow. That's what it is. I was like, there's a blanket that looks eerily a lot like Ollie.
Yeah. No, but he's pillow. Down here.
Okay, I have to tell you before we get started that there was a post in the Facebook group and they were shocked that we were not like on the Ferreo train. And I felt a little bit scared that we were letting down the Glamgelinos for like not loving the Ferreo, because somebody posted in the group and said, hey, I just listened to last week's episode. I am like completely shocked that Kirby and Sarah are not down with the Ferreo. What do you guys think? And like everyone was talking about how they freaking love their Ferreo. And I have to know what the marketing push was behind this, because I remember when it first came out many, many, many years ago and I had one and I thought it was like fine. But I didn't think it was necessary to my skin.
Yeah, I totally used mine too. I think, are they using it in a double cleanse situation, like to remove layers of makeup, or just as like...
That's the vibe I generally got from people. They said that they liked that it vibrated on the face and that they feel clean afterwards. And then I hate chiming in on the threads because I feel like it's like teacher coming in and telling everybody to be quiet, totally. But that's not what I'm trying to do at all. I just want to chime in to explain like what we meant, obviously, because we can't say everything that we want to say within this podcast. It would take literally hours.
Right.
But I chimed in. I'm like, hey, you guys can totally love the Ferreo. We are not saying it's bad. We do think it's a little gimmicky, much like the Clarisonic. But if like the key is we want you to wash your face and we want you to wash it well. So if you feel like the Foreo really is getting your face that good clean, then by all means,
absolutely,
use it. We're not here to tell you.
And some people, like, I think probably really love that feeling of the vibration, which, I mean, who wouldn't? But to me, it was just an extra step that I didn't feel was necessary. Like, I love massaging my skin, my cleanser with my fingertips and like really getting in there.
Yeah.
And I just didn't feel like it was necessary to have an extra tool to help me do that. But to each their own, right?
Exactly. And I definitely don't want people to think that they have to buy something like a Foreo to get their face clean. That's kind of where I was coming from, because it is expensive. It's a tool. Obviously, it's something that you make an investment in and then you keep for a long time, and it hopefully lasts for a couple years.
I think it also comes out of like me being lazy in cleaning my products and like my makeup brushes and my gadgets. Like, not that it's super hard to clean the Foreo, but like, it's just another extra, you know, step that I don't really want to do.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and the Foreo, even though it is, you know, antimicrobial and antibacterial, if you're like wearing mascara and foundation and stuff like that, like, I remember I would have to, like, I would take a Q-tip and try to get in between the little,
totally,
like silicone bristles. So,
but that's exciting that people are like talking about what they're hearing.
Oh my God. I know.
And like having their own discussions.
We're constantly amazed when I pop into this group. I'm like,
it's like imposter syndrome.
No, truly. I'm like, you listen to this podcast. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. There was this really cute girl who hopped in, and she's a Gen Zer. And she was saying that the whole like Morphe 2 thing she felt was just a cash grab. And that like a lot of the Gen Z people feel like this is really catering to like a younger tween crowd, not necessarily like people that are Charlie and Dixie's age. And that it was also weird because they don't wear makeup. Like, Charlie is known for having a very clean, fresh face. So it's like a little weird for them.
Totally. I guess that makes sense, because it's always aspirational, right?
Yeah.
But was I wearing that much makeup? Was I wearing any makeup at like 13? I guess I was playing with makeup. It was like discovery.
When I was 13, yes, I was allowed to wear blush and I was allowed to wear mascara to school. Like, those were the two things I was allowed to wear.
Oh.
I know. And then once I got to...
That's why you're such a pro. You've been wearing mascara since you were a preteen.
It was like the one thing that my mom was going to let me wear. And then lo and behold, like, it always looked like I was wearing a lot of makeup because I had the longest eyelashes ever. So everyone... Totally. Like,
do you remember what the mascara was?
Oh, it was definitely L'Oreal Voluminous, 100%. Okay. Tried and true, still one of my faves.
I love that.
It's very rare that I like don't get a mascara send, but if there comes a day where I don't have a mascara, like I go to reach for a mascara and it's dry and I know its time is up, I'll just like walk to CVS and pick up a Voluminous and call it a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. I think the first makeup product I was allowed to wear was either blush and then like a tinted lip.
Mm-hmm.
But then like I really gravitated towards like eyeliner. That was like my shit. Even though I couldn't.
Same.
It's not like I knew how to wear it either. Like, I would always apply it way too thick. And like Wet n Wild black liquid liner was my favorite throughout high school and college. And I still probably would love it. I haven't used it in a long time. But, like, it was fat wing, you know? Fat cat eye.
A fat wing. I love a good fat wing.
And then you take the black pencil, and go underneath, right? You just line the entire eye.
Why did we do the black liner underneath the eye? I do not understand that we did. It's like a rite of passage. It's, like, something that I think all young women go through. They're, like, it's, like... They open up a book one day and someone's like, you need this. And then all of a sudden you run to the nearest store, Target, wherever. You grab the deepest, darkest coal liner you can find. And then get it all up in that eyeball. All up in that. I have a picture and I need to find it, Sarah. It was... Have we talked about the fact that I permed my hair to look like Justin Timberlake? I feel like it's probably been brought up on...
Yes, but we haven't seen any photos.
Unfortunately, for everyone that had to look at me, I permed.
I think it's strange that you did it to look like Justin Timberlake.
Okay, Sarah, this is, thank you. Thank you, Sarah. Oh my God. I wish Patrick was listening to this right now, because I was just talking about how there has to be a psychology behind wanting to look like your crush versus like wanting to attract your crush. Like, did you go to NSYNC concerts and stuff?
No, I don't think so.
Did you go to any like boy band? Like, who was your biggest crush? Like, did you go to any of their concerts or any?
Yeah, well, no, like, okay, so I mean, I loved JC and NSYNC, but I don't think that, I guess like, okay, maybe like wearing a turtleneck like him.
Okay. So exactly. There is a psychology behind this, Sarah, because last week on my Instagram stories, I started getting nostalgic and talking about like the Disney original concert series, and like people that have not messaged me literally in maybe years were engaging with me. I'm like, is this my new content? Just nostalgia, not beauty, whatever. And so I was talking to them about, this was the, you know, I was like, this era in time was the phase where I perm my hair to have something in common with Justin Timberlake. And I talked to Patrick about it, and he was like, what are you doing? And I would go to NSYNC concerts, and I, instead of dressing like cute or sexy to like be like, I'm an attractive girl, like, would you want me? Which, by the way, they wouldn't. They were 10 years older than me, and it was like gross.
No, I get it. Of course. You would pick your outfit based on the fact that perhaps maybe they would see you in the audience.
Sarah, I wore windbreakers. I wore highlighter, well, yellow windbreaking jackets. I wore turtlenecks.
In style.
I, like, nothing. Nothing computes here. It's like, if you really are so obsessed with JC Chazay and you think you're going to be Mrs. JC Chazay, if you're going to go to an NSYNC concert, potentially like meet him in a meet and greet and like have close up tickets in your, or even not, you're just going to be in the vicinity. Like, there's a TikTok meme right now where it's like people in the audience of a concert, and it's like trying to act all like coy, like thinking that the main guy is going to look at them. And it's like, we're in the nosebleeds.
Oh, I felt that.
I feel it so hard. Like,
yeah. You know what's funny about you saying this, though? It sort of does make sense. There is a psychology behind it, because when I was at Tiger Beat, the owner of Tiger Beat and Bop, Mr. Scott Laufer, he like inherited the company from his dad, and who, you know, used to do Tiger Beat back in the day in like the 70s or 80s, whenever it was like, you know, at its heyday. And he said that they would only put, or he would know like whether or not a young man was going to be a heartthrob, a teen heartthrob, based on how they looked, if they looked a little feminine. So you have Justin Bieber, you have Zac Efron, yep, like people who, you know, no facial hair, cannot have any facial hair, cannot seem threatening at all, like cannot be too manly. They had to have softer features, and that's what girls liked.
Oh my God. This actually makes so much sense. Remember early NSYNC days? Joey and Chris didn't have facial hair, but then they did. And I felt like they were the ones that
older girls were attracted
to. Yes, because when I would ask like my friends' older sisters who were like 18 and like legally able to date these men because they were like only 4 years older than them, they always had the hots for like Joey and Chris. And I remember being like, Joey and Chris?
Ew.
What?
I don't know anyone who liked Chris, for the record.
Oh my God. But this is the best. I know. Freaking Chris with his like appropriative cornrows. like this man, like, what are you doing? But he had the best personality. He was so funny. And he like, he had facial hair. And then Joey, my mom's favorite was Joey. This tracks.
Makes sense.
Totally makes sense. Italian Joey with the goatee and the red hair. Love it.
I also feel like moms loved Joey because he looked a little bit older than everyone.
My mom like knew the second he performed on The Masked Singer that it was Joey. She was like, Joey Fatone is the rabbit. Telling you right now. I'm like, Mom, yes, I'm aware. I could tell you that.
That's so funny.
Anyways.
Okay, so yeah, you're not as weird as you thought you were, or as Patrick thinks you are.
Exactly. He did. Well, when I was trying to tell him about, like, I'm like, there's a psychology behind this. He's like, well, yeah, there is. But I'm like, no. people don't talk about this. This should be a piece that I write. So if any of our editor friends are listening, please assign me the story. I would love
write it for Allure.
I would love to get into the psychology of dressing up like JC Chazé. Oh my God, that man.
Okay.
What the things that he does to my loins my brains.
Snorted.
Love that 15-minute intro. Okay, let's do beauty news.
Yes, we've got, again, lots to talk about this week. But first, let's start with the new faces of Neutrogena.
Who are they?
Lana Condor from To All the Boys. We all know Bobby. Lana. Love her so much. And then Jenna Ortega, who is on You and Jane the Virgin, and then, you know, a Disney Channel series called Stuck in the Middle. So both these beautiful women of color are the new faces of Neutrogena. And I think that they're excellent picks. So well done, Neutrogena.
Yeah, Neutrogena nailed it. And I gotta say, Jenna is so good in You. That's how I fell in love with her. I'm too old for Stuck in the Middle. And I didn't watch Jane the Virgin. Sorry, Disney Channel. I really wish I wasn't, but here we are. And then,
I mean, I think that this pick is, well, actually both of them are not to attract us.
Oh, of course.
It's not our age demo. However, they're both like incredible young women, so.
But I loved To All the Boys, Avi.
Obsessed.
The soundtrack is just like one of my faves that I replay.
So in this article with People, both actors said that they were excited to be ambassadors for the brand because Neutrogena encourages them to use their platforms to speak out about social issues, which I also think is really cool. Because you would think, you know, being the face of a huge, huge brand would be limiting in what you could say, you know, on Instagram or TikTok or whatever. But I think that, yeah, I kudos to Neutrogena. I'm excited to see them do the iconic splash of water.
The splash and smile. Nobody ever looks as good washing their face as they do in a Neutrogena commercial.
I hope that one day we'll get to do that. You're close to that.
Neutrogena, get Los Angeles in on this. Oh my gosh, we should make, I have dreams of us having a TV show where we like just do random beauty crap, and one of the things should be sponsored by Neutrogena, and they teach us how to do this splash and smile.
I want to see what the bowl looks like.
Seriously.
If it's actually a bowl at all.
How many times are you doing it?
What is the technique? Jennifer Garner does a really good one.
I always think of Hayden Panettiere or like Misha Barton back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Kirby and I are both just pretending to like wash water onto our splash water.
We
want to
see your
right
own
now.
Splash and smile. Did you know, fun fact, that Allison McNamara, founder of Mara and my former co-worker at Pop Sugar, her dad used to work for Neutrogena and found Misha Barton, essentially.
Oh.
Yeah.
I knew that her dad was a big deal, but I didn't know he discovered Misha Barton. That's exciting.
I know. She told us that story. Fab. Wow. All right. Moving on. We have some more news from Rare Beauty, Selena Gomez's beauty line, which is this launch postponed?
Yes. Well, they say late summer, whatever that means, but it was postponed. I think it was supposed to be early summer.
Got it.
Yeah.
So Selena Gomez's Rare Beauty launches a $100 million mental health initiative for underserved communities. That's awesome. And so it says, from the moment the first Rare Beauty product is sold, 1% of sales will be dedicated to increasing access to mental health resources and services, especially for underserved communities. And with the added help of funds from their partners, $100 million will be raised over the next 10 years and will make the Rare Impact Fund one of the most prominent mental health organizations associated with a corporate identity. Wow.
This is a good move. Well, obviously it makes sense. Selena Gomez is super open about, you know, her mental health. And as someone who is very privileged and has, you know, amassed a small fortune from, you know, her from Disney and singing all that, she has a lot of money. And so it's like, it's nice to see her give back already, you know?
Exactly. So it says Rare will launch exclusively at Sephora later this summer.
Yeah. Okay. So Gabrielle Union is relaunching her hair care brand called Flawless, which is exciting because she had launched this hair care brand previously a few years ago, but she didn't feel good about it. It just wasn't the right time. Basically, you know, it was a hair care brand, and then she was going through, you know, back-to-back IVF treatments, and she was losing hair. She didn't feel flawless. She wasn't feeling good about herself. And so she just felt like it was, like, you know, not the right timing, felt inauthentic. And so it launched in Ulta, and then I think it did pretty well, and then she pulled it, hit pause. Recently decided to relaunch it with the help of her longtime hairstylist, Larry J. Sims. And so they relaunched with a 12-piece range made to fit every hair type. So there'll be shampoos, conditioners, scalp treatments, curl cream, co-wash, and more. And all of the products are under $10. And
that's incredible.
I know. And she switched retailers. You will be able to shop the products on Amazon.com because she really, really wanted it to be accessible to everyone, all of her fans. Which, yeah, I mean, being able to shop on Amazon and then all of the products be under $10 is pretty amazing.
I agree. Sarah, how do you feel about beauty products on Amazon?
It's so hard for me because I feel like I really, I mean, well, I don't order a lot of beauty products at all, but I don't order them on Amazon because I feel like I just can't trust where it's coming from. However, if it's like a House Labs or, you know, a flawless situation, I would feel more comfortable about it.
Yeah, you definitely, I think we should do like an Amazon do and don'ts episode. But on Amazon, you have to make sure that you're shopping directly from a storefront. So if you see a product that you like and you end up clicking on its brand name, see where that takes you. If it's Flawless Beauty, great. That's like the official storefront. But if it's like third-party retailer like CheekyCheeks.com or whatever. But I don't think people really take the time to look to see where they're purchasing the product from. They just see the product and the name. And they think, oh, this is a legitimate thing.
Yeah, it's very confusing. But I feel like it's obvious because you, one, will have to pay for her shipping or it doesn't come or it takes like 2 weeks to come, you know? But it definitely is like super misleading. And I think that there are a lot of like third-party retailers who are selling expired products and, you know, like you really have to do your research.
So y'all just be vigilant when buying your products. I do think that this is smart, similarly to how Gaga, you know, did Amazon so that everybody could get it easily. I'm totally down with that. Although the reason why I asked you, Sarah, is because I feel like Jeff Bezos doesn't need any more money in his pockets. So, but one of the things I was going to also say is that I love that all these products are under $10.
It's unheard of, I feel.
You can't beat that. So congratulations. I feel like I'm congratulating all these people.
I know.
They're not listening and I don't know them.
Same.
Congrats, Gabrielle. Respect. Sarah, do you want to tell me about this? Because I am just now hearing about this.
Yes. So you are going to be able to shop your favorite MAC products on ASOS now, which is really interesting because you can almost buy literally anything on ASOS now.
Seriously.
I, for a while, had for like, not a while, a few years, had their, you know, it was kind of like equivalent to the Prime shipping. I don't know if you ever had that.
No.
Where it was like you pay $19 a year and then you would order like whatever order you place, you get it in like within 2 days, even if it was like shipping from the UK. It was really bad. Whoa. It was like the epitome of like fast fashion. But hey, kept me cute for a few years. Anyways, so now, you know, they've expanded their beauty selection. You can get Charlotte Tilbury products, you can get Hip Dot, and now you can get a ton of MAC products. They drop 474 makeup products, says Allure. And then they'll be doing new drops every month, and the curation will be geared towards the 20-something customer because that's who's shopping at ASOS.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to add to that. Cool.
Does that mean because we're not 20-something? We're old.
We're 30-something.
Well, we have Gen Z listeners, apparently, so I'm just, you know, letting them know.
I just want everyone to know that we're cool because we have Gen Z listening. Thank you very much. Okay, last piece of news. So this is a new Black-owned beauty brand that launched in Sephora this month, Bread Beauty Supply. Have you heard of this, Sarah?
No, tell me more. I'm excited.
So it is such a cute brand. The focus is on natural hair. And the founder, Mava Heim, said this. She said, typically, women with textured hair have not been included in the conversations around the ideal of quote-unquote lazy girl or quote-unquote done, undone hair with minimal and effortless maintenance and styling. This is something that I want to change. Hair routines and the rhetoric around Black hair have been dominated by messages of heavy product usage, excessive routines, styling, and hair manipulation. Bread embraces simplicity in hair care, and we want to give our audience the products and tools to embrace it too. So I actually was attracted to this brand because the founder, Mava, said that she wants to get rid of the word anti-frizz, because when it comes to like natural, coily, curly hair, a lot of the times when you see it in advertisements or things like that, it's like been Photoshopped so that it looks like perfectly coiffed, and that's just not how it's supposed to be. And your hair can still be beautiful and still be undone. And that frizz is a part of being having beautiful hair. Mm-hmm, and so I have been really excited about this launch. So she launched with 3 products, which I think is great. There's the Gentle Milky Cleanser. It's a sulfate-free hair wash that takes care of buildup and debris. Then the Creamy Deep Conditioner is a vegan hair mask made for dehydrated, coily, and kinky textured curls. And then the Everyday Gloss is a silicone-free hair oil that coats the strands. So the products range from $20 to $58, and it's sold on their website and also Sephora. You can find them at Sephora now. I really want to meet Mava. I haven't had the opportunity to speak with her before, but she seems awesome. I started following her on Instagram. So if you guys are looking, especially for a hair product that focuses on natural hair, look up Bread Beauty Supply on Instagram and give them a follow.
I love the branding, the packaging. It's so cute.
It's so, so cute. They did an amazing job.
So shall we get into
what's on your face? All right.
You want to start?
Yes. So I did a poll on my Instagram yesterday saying, do you think I liked this product that launched?
I took it and I failed.
She failed.
There's still things we don't know about each other.
I know. So the product was the Becco. So the product was the Becca Zero No Pigment Virtual Foundation. Sarah, when you hear this name.
That's a name.
It's a name. But what do you think of when you hear this name?
Yes. Okay. So I thought of primer because what does No Pigment Virtual Foundation mean? I think of like a blurring product of some sort.
So when this product was announced, Trend Mood is the one that posted about it. We'll reserve opinions for another time. Mm-hmm. I remember getting an email being like, what is this? And I asked some people that are related to the brand, what is this? Is it a primer? Because that's what it sounds like. And all the beauty groups I'm in, people were like, this is just a primer, right? And the brand was very careful not to call it a primer because they didn't want people to feel like they needed to wear it underneath makeup. Primers now are so synonymous with being like the first step in your makeup routine that, you know, I think by calling it a primer, people will be like, but I am barely wearing makeup right now, so why would I need one?
Yeah. And I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, and we've talked about it with, who was it who was like, was it Sarah Tano when we were talking about, like, there was the rise of primers, you know.
Totally.
2018, 2019. And then people sort of realized they didn't really need it or they didn't want to wear it. Because, like, every brand was coming out with a primer.
Totally. And I think it honestly makes people less likely to try a product if it's called a primer. So I understand what they're doing. But my quiz on my Instagram was, do you think I liked this product? And let's take a look right now. What are the results? I've only had this up for a few hours. But, okay. They haven't changed. They've stayed the same. I've been testing this launch and I'm curious. Do you think I liked it? 30%. Thought I said yes, and 70% thought I said no. And I'm here to tell y'all, you got duped. Y'all got
But this duped. surprised you too.
Oh, it did surprise me. I think. I love this stuff. Like this is a go-to for me now. So this is a $36 product. I would call this a mattifying moisturizer. That's how I would describe this. So I went into the launch.
A clear.
What?
Moisturize. A clear.
Yeah, it's totally clear. It's like not white. It's not milky. Nothing. Okay. I went into this launch just like you, being super sus. Like, this is a primer. And then I was like, oh, it doesn't have silicones. Okay. Because, you know, I've been gravitating towards like the silicone-free primers, like the one from Armani and the one from Lawless and stuff like that. It claims to blur and smooth your imperfections, which kind of adds to the narrative that people are like, this is a primer.
Yep.
But I think the thing that really gets me is that it has I think the thing that really gets me is that it has all day oil control. I am so oily, especially in my T-zone. I have combination skin. I have to powder all the time. When I was at work working on camera, it was like in between every single take, I had to be powdered to the gods. And it was really frustrating because when you overpowder, you can look really cakey. It can make your makeup break up. So I've never really been a fan of wearing too much powder, although I do have to wear it. So I wore this all weekend in the desert heat and I loved it. I loved how it went on my skin. It felt so nice. I wore it alone and I wore it underneath makeup. And the key is, I think Becca wants you to wear this alone, like nothing underneath or nothing on top.
Totally.
But I loved it both ways. I thought my skin was mattified, my pores didn't look as pronounced, and I had a little bit of a glow from just wearing it alone. But then from like wearing it underneath makeup, I felt like it made my makeup look bomb and it made my skin look awesome too. So most primers have this silicone feel. That's like you said, it's like more milky or serum-y. And this is even, yeah. I mean, it kind of feels silicone-y, but there's no silicone in it.
Yeah, it's hard to describe. I think we were texting about it when I tried it and I was like, it reminds me of a primer that I've tried before, but it finishes way different.
It's like a jelly almost. You know? It's not, but it's not.
And then it absorbs super quick. And even now, so I personally tried this. I need to try it again, but I don't have oily skin. So I didn't love it.
Yeah.
However, I'm going to give it another try because you love it so much. Just in this, you know, last few minutes that you're talking about it, I put it on one hand and then left the other hand blank. And this hand that it's on looks so much nicer and smoother.
I mean, it really does look, I mean, obviously the cosmetic benefits there immediately because of the smur, the zoom automatically smooths your face and hands. Right, so I can't see. But I think that initially, you know, going into it, I'm like, is this going to be a primer? This is a gimmick. It feels a lot like Emperor's New Clothes situation. But I will say,
it's like Luby Kirby.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. It's like, it reminds me of lube.
Yes. And
face lube.
Yes. And remember Huda came out with that like primer that was sort of lube-y?
No, I don't remember that. Sorry, Huda.
Or maybe I'm wrong. Anyways, that's what it reminds me of.
So anyways, there's no silicones in this, so you don't have to worry about pilling or like a weird texture, which I think is great. And a lot of times with primers, you put them on and then your face kind of feels like tight. But this is like a moisturizer. So it really does feel hydrated. I love it. I don't even wear a moisturizer underneath it. So I'm very, very happy with this product. I'm proud to report. Well, okay, I guess I'll say this. I do hate the marketing of it. I do hate that they're calling it a pigment, no pigment virtual foundation. And that is because it technically is a base or a foundation because that's what's on your skin first. But most people associate those terms with pigment.
Right.
So it feels kind of like they're really going out on a limb here to try to get people to use this product.
Right. Like they could have called it a no pigment or like the opposite of a tintin moisturizer.
Yeah. So I was going to say, I think that it would be better described as a hydrating moisturizer or a gel powder. Because like if you could get people to wear... I would wear a gel powder. If I heard the words gel powder, I'd be like, what is this? And then I'd be more likely to put it on like, you know, to mattify my face versus like wanting to use it as like the first step. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or like even a clear CC BB cream.
Yeah. Yeah. I think honestly, like calling it foundation was a misstep here, in my opinion, just because I think the conversation around it has been like,
it's not a foundation.
And yeah. It technically is a foundation. Foundation literally means like the first step. Yeah,
right.
So I think that's the marketing is a little gimmicky. I do think that Becca Zero reminds me a lot of like Pepsi Zero Coke or Zero. Coke Zero or whatever. And I'm like, what is this? But I have to say, trying the product myself, a person who has pronounced pores on my nose and I'm super oily on my forehead and on my nose, and I am very satisfied with this product. The other product in the launch is called the Pigment Glass Highlighter for Face and Lip. Honestly, I think this is just, it's lip gloss.
Yeah, it's clear lip gloss.
And but cute. It's cute, but not really changing the game with this guy.
I'm obsessed with how I now applied it to both my hands. I feel like the next hand selfie manicure photo I take, I'm going to apply this all over my fingers. It makes it look really smooth.
So I am loving this product. And I think that especially if you're not wearing a lot of makeup right now, but you want something that's going to blur imperfections and help with oil control, grab this guy. It's great.
Is it out yet?
When does it launch?
I feel like it's not out yet. It's coming for you.
Yeah. It's coming. Okay, this is one of my favorite brands always. So Sarah, what is on your face?
I feel like it's so funny that we're both talking about foundations this week.
Quote unquote.
Because we haven't been wearing a lot of makeup at all these last few months. Anyways, but this is also a foundation that's like more like a tinted moisturizer.
Okay.
But definitely way more like a foundation than the last product you're talking about.
Well, because it has pigment.
Right, because it has pigment. So Giorgio Armani has come out with the Neo Nude True to Skin Natural Glow Foundation, which I knew immediately upon receiving the product that I was going to love it. However, I've talked about shade matching with Giorgio Armani products with you before and how I struggle. And that was something that I was worried about. Mm-hmm. So because it is lighter, so this formula is lightweight, but buildable. And it delivers like a very natural, healthy looking glow. Mm-hmm. It's very hydrated. It's got hyaluronic acid in it. It feels more like a tinted moisturizer. So it's definitely... I use shade 5.5. It's not perfect on me, but because it's lighter, I can blend it into my skin and it finishes like great.
Okay.
It looks really, really good. But it's not like a typical tinted moisturizer, and that tinted moisturizers usually make you look dewy all over, you know? This dries matte in the areas that you want it to, or just doesn't make you look oily in your T-zone.
Okay.
Kayleen McAdams, who is a fabulous makeup artist / sister to Rachel McAdams.
Yes.
Did you do this, Death Side?
No, I missed that. I really wanted to go, but I wasn't able to.
It was like very fancy. They had their own like Zoom. It wasn't through Zoom.
Oh.
It had like the whole like Armani border, and you could like, if you had a question, you clicked on a hand and it would like raise a hand for you. It was cute. Yeah, I was into it. But anyways, she did a whole virtual makeup class and walked us through this product. And she said exactly that although just when it comes to like selling a product, especially nowadays when we can't go into a store, like we have to relate it to something that we know, right? So like for the Becca one, it's like, it's a no pigment foundation, but it's like not really but it's not a primer, but it's like we have to use these terms that people are familiar with.
Yeah.
And so I think when they are marketing this product, it's easy for a lot of people to say that it is like a tinted moisturizer. But she was like, but it really isn't, because it has like a more of like a matte finish, but it still makes you look really dewy in the areas that you want to. So it's like perfect basically for summer.
Okay.
And I wore it over the weekend. It felt really, really good and comfortable on my skin. Stayed on all day throughout the heat. And I will definitely, well, if I had any summer weddings to go to, I would wear this. But I don't.
Nobody's having a summer wedding or a winter wedding.
So I'll just wear it, you know, whenever I want to, when I want to look cute. But yes, again, I am shade 5.5. It is $40. You can get it at Sephora, I believe, and on the Giorgio Armani Beauty website. I can't wait for you to try it.
I know, I'm excited. I obviously have been concealing it up lately. That's like all I've been really wearing. But now I feel like we're probably going to see maybe more foundations. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, but like I think lighter foundations that are, you know, not full face.
Yep. All right. That is the end of our episode. You guys. Okay, guys. Wow. Wow. Wow.
Wow. It's hard.
It is hard.
It's hot.
Did you just lift your shirt up?
Yeah, but I'm wearing something.
All right, y'all. That's the end of this episode. Sarah's promptly lifted her shirt up, so I think it's time to put a fork in
it. My body runs 10 degrees warmer than it usually does.
Oh my God. Thank you all for listening, and thank you for chiming in on our episodes. So we are going to start doing Tuesday episodes, beauty news and what's on your face, and then a Friday episode, you know, being either a guest or like a meatier topic of conversation that Sarah and I will cover, just the two of us. So meaty. So thank you guys. Follow us. I don't know what's happening to me today. I'm just like, rah.
Do you need help?
Yep. Help.
Okay, don't forget to follow us. I think that's what Kirby was trying to say. Don't forget to follow us on our socials, our Instagram, Los Angeles Pod. Join our Facebook group. Lots of compelling discussions on Foreos and whatnot going on over there. Our Twitter, Los Angeles Pod. Visit our website, losangelespod.com. Read through our fun and fancy episode lists and leave us a note. You can do that. I love suggesting that just because it's a capability that you can do us on our website. And then, you know, like, subscribe, leave a comment. Makes our day. Is that it?
Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
See you guys on Friday.
See you on Friday.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.